fresh oil, you know, you can't get it from your neighbor. So you better get it while you can. You know, the Word always tells us about the sanctuary. In the Old Testament, you know where they ran? To the sanctuary. In fact, everything was established around the sanctuary, all the tribes of Israel. They all hung around the sanctuary. Everything was associated with the tabernacle, the sanctuary, to be connected in every area. That's one of the things the enemy loves to do, is disconnect us. Amen? If he can disconnect us in any area and cause compromise, he's got us. Amen? Easily deceived. You know, we've been talking about the final delusion. Amen? And entering the final delusion. I think we need to talk about escaping the final delusion. In 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3. Wonderful presence of the Lord here today. He's very good to us. You know, when we sing the song where it says, deep unto deep, Spirit come. There's a place in worship where you're able to go past the surface, second level, and enter the third. That's called deep unto deep. There's not a change until you reach that place. Then there's an exchange every time. Boom. Boom. Whatever your pains were, they're gone. Whatever your fears were, they're gone. Whatever you were struggling with is gone. Because those things cannot exist in that third level of presence of God. That's why it's so important. Jesus is always calling us to deep. See, a Christian should be going deep, not just surfing. Amen? We need to, there's a time of surfing, but then you need to get off. You need to get off the board. Amen? And go deep. You know where treasures are? Deep. You know where revelation is? Deep. Everything is deep. Man, that's deep. Yeah. And when we get to that place, there's an exchange of carnality. See, we don't realize how carnal we are until we get deep. Then you can't stand yourself. And you want to just let everything go. That's associated with carnality. And you realize all the stupid decisions you just made. All false agreements. All the other things in our... Everything comes up to the right to the surface and goes, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. Why? Because the King is before you. And he exposes every little thing. Everything that you might have never thought of. Or that you put aside. And sometimes he brings those things up so that we can repent and get them under the blood. There isn't anything greater to get that deep and receive a kiss from the Lord. See, that kiss says, not only do I love you, but I approve. We search, we go deep for that kiss. It's not just treasures, it's that relationship. And you know what? To get there, you gotta deny yourself. See, it starts with a mouth worship, then it turns into a heart worship. See, there's too many that are too surface. And that's why they can't see what God requires them to see. But again, everything is associated with God's presence. Remember, his presence brings his power. Amen? And his glory brings his character. So we want to go deep in everything. Deep calls on to deep. In 1 John chapter 3, in verse 1, let's speak it together. Beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us. Everyone say, the world doesn't know me. See, there's going to be many people that know you, but don't know you. They don't know you. First of all, they can't comprehend you. They won't understand you. They only know you as surface, but they don't know you as deep, because they can never reach deep. Does everybody understand that? So the world knows you as surface, but not as deep. Now, if you haven't reached deep, then they know you as surface, and you agree with them as surface. But deep doesn't agree with anything that's surface. It's different. Therefore, the world does not know us because it does not know him. Now, they may say they know him. They may even call themselves Christians. But to know him is a relationship that is deep. That means you and I must refresh ourselves deep. God gives us opportunity to go deep. Every time we gather together to worship is an opportunity to go deep, where everything goes away. Is everybody okay? Let's go a little further. Verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. You know why? Because we can't handle him right now. Your body couldn't handle it. Physical body. I can tell you that for sure. You can ask my wife when we saw the glory of God enter into our living room. I flipped and flapped like a fish out of water. I had no control over myself. None. I looked like I was having an epileptic seizure. I mean, every bone in my body should have been broken. And when they moved the coffee table out of the way, they knew I was flying. And the only thing I said was, that's his glory. I saw his glory. And I said in that room, that's his glory. And when I saw his glory, man, it was like he squeezed me. Every part of my air, like, did you ever lose your breath, knock the breath out of you? That's what happened to me. Every part of my breath was squeezed. And that's all I heard was, ah. And what came in ripped me apart. His glory. Totally different. Next thing I was a holy roller. Rolling all over the floor with these funny languages flying out of my mouth. And every language there was. And his purpose, and then his face came in the room, and I saw his face. And he said, be not dismayed, I've come to dwell with you. And his purpose was to impart the desire for the lost. See, we have too many things in between that. We have too many agendas, too many plans, too many desires that are interfering with getting the lost. Too many things. There shouldn't be one lost soul right now. Everybody should have had heard the gospel already. But because the enemy easily distracts, misleads, and disconnects God's people, they spend more time starting over again than going forward. Is everybody okay? Everybody understand this, where it's, what's happening? Thank God for his mercies and grace. Amen? Hallelujah. Go ahead, lift your hands to heaven. Just get a drink this morning. Lord, we just need more of you today. And we want to be like you. We want to be qualified to be called your offspring. And joint heir of Christ. In Jesus' name. In verse 3, And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits what? Lawlessness. Remember, sin is the presence of evil. Why? Because it always promotes lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. Well, what is lawlessness? It's anything that's against God's law. Now, God's law is everything he speaks. The Bible is a book of laws. It's a manual. Amen? It's a basic instruction before leaving earth, right? Or else you ain't going to the right place. Anyone who commits sins commits lawlessness. It's a breaker of the laws of God or his commands that he has given to us in the Bible. And there's so many who refuse to accept the Bible as God's truth. Verse 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are what? Manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. That is a fruit. Whoever does not approve of the things of God is practicing lawlessness. So an individual is either practicing righteousness or lawlessness. There is no in between. And he says, the ones that are practicing lawlessness are called children of the devil. He says, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. In other words, an individual can be walking with the Lord and then step away, and what he's doing is not of God. Does everybody understand that? So that's where you and I must be careful to maintain in every area. Maintain being filled, maintain being dressed, maintain being alert, maintain being armed. We must be armed and dangerous, not to our neighbors, but to the enemy. Amen? In Matthew 24, escaping the final delusion. It's like escaping the Matrix. The Matrix is established by deception and delusion. Matthew 24 and verse 3. Now as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming of the end of the age, which means the end of the age of grace. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one does what? Deceive you. Over and over and over again. For many will come in my name saying, I'm a Christian or I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. And these will be the beginning of sorrows, which we have already entered and we're coming out of. We're basically coming to the end of this. What will be the next? Tribulation. It says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and do what? Kill you. Do you know that they're trying to kill you now? You know, I don't know if you know this or not, but they are trying to promote more and more enforced vaccinations on children because they're trying to kill them. See, these are time-release death. There's more and more chemtrails. If you don't understand chemtrails, let me tell you need to learn about it. Because the other day, when I came out of my house, I said, oh my God, I have never seen so many chemtrails except for when my wife and I were traveling to the beach one day. These chemtrails release chemicals and sometimes certain mechanical things, chemicals, and magnetic things. And you will find that all of a sudden you're sick and don't realize it. You have an allergy that nothing's all of a sudden comes back and it hasn't been around in years. Things are being, why? Because it's reconnecting and causing the immune system to begin breakdown. These are happening every day. You can tell the difference in the clouds. Those ain't real clouds. Listen, a jet leaves a stream and dissipates. When a jet leaves a stream and it stays and turns into a cloud, those are chemtrails. You need to Google it, chemtrails. You can see big 747s filled with these chemicals or releasing them all over. This is all done by the darkness. See, deep state is known as darkness. Remember, their purpose is to begin to afflict mankind and remove them so they can set their elite and their own race in order on the earth. And it says, and they will deliver you up to tribulation and attempt to kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many because what? Lawlessness will what? Abound, and the love of many will what? Grow cold. Is that happening right now? I mean, come on. If you can't see that, you're really blind. You need deliverance. But he who endures to the what? End will be saved. In other words, we are seeing the attacks like never before. You know, Christianity is being persecuted globally. They don't tell you all this stuff on the news. You have to go search it all out. They're being beheaded. They're being tortured. They're being burned. They're being jailed. They're being taken out of commission. Many of them. In every country and nation, continent and island globally. We are being persecuted right here in this country. Just turn on the news. Look at what's going on in the schools. They're persecuting kids for bringing a Bible into school. Man, you can talk about witchcraft, Ouija boards, Obama. Another false deity. Don't become an Obamanite. They can talk about Buddha. They can talk about Muhammad and all these other demonic witches and so forth. But when you speak about Jesus, you get expelled. Come on, something's not right. Even the ones that are deceived, they ought to realize if they're expelling everyone else, but I mean, they're keeping everyone else, but those who trust in Jesus, you know you have to be the right way out of here. But they don't have that common sense because they've been taken captive in their minds. Amen? And it says, this gospel, which is the message of the truth of the kingdom, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So we know that false prophets, betrayers, deceivers, lawlessness will abound. It's going to increase and lead more. It's going to cause the love of many to grow cold because of what the agenda they're following. Why? Because the agenda is deceptive, evil, and promoter of wickedness. In Matthew 7, listen, if you don't know these things, then you stay caught in them. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So how are you going to escape a final delusion if you're in it? Somebody needs to explain it to you. We need to know. And to prevent us from falling into it, we need to be prepared. We need to know ahead of time. We need to know what's going on. In verse 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Now these are Christians that are doing the work of God. God is using them. Amen? But because God is using them, see, the gifts are without reproach. There's no, you got the gifts, no problem. But these are Christians that are doing, that God is using them for. How many of y'all know God can use a donkey? Amen. He uses me enough. Yeah. Anyway. Say, God, use me. We won't play, what is it, pin the tail on the donkey? Hallelujah. But in these times, because so much delusion and deception and people are caught up in this, that there'll be many believers who have fallen from the agenda or are proving the agenda of wickedness. See, they're going to go back on what they've done. Well, Lord, didn't I cast out devils in your name? Well, what are you doing now? Well, didn't I do this and didn't I do that? Well, what are you doing now? Are you actually doing are you actually expanding my kingdom? Are you denying yourself? Are you putting things in my order and getting rid of your order? He says, and I'll declare to them, I never knew you, because depart from me, because you who practice what? Lawlessness. No, they're embracing something that's not abiding to God's will. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to be a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Wow. See, God rejects all those that practice lawlessness. They're lawbreakers. They're not abiding. They're not following in his word, which is the law of eternal life. It is the law of eternal life. It is the law of life. In this Bible is the law of life. Amen? 2 Thessalonians 2, escaping final delusion. Oh, happy days. Yes. Everyone say yes. Lord. Okay. That means you got to do it. Verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of what? Lawlessness is already at work. Well, man, we see it everywhere. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. That means the Lord and the body of Christ. Can you imagine how much lawlessness is going to abound when we're out of here? It's going to be nuts. But you know what? They're going to approve of it and love it, because they're going to be under delusion. See, that's all leading to something specific. It's called the mark of the beast. And then the lawless one will be revealed, the one who is the promoter, the originator, whom the Lord will eventually consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy in the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of who? Satan. Satan. So individuals that are breaking the law of God or laws of God are under the control of who? Satan's kingdom. With all power, sounds, and lying wonders. And with all what? Unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. In other words, they did not love the truth. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. That's where we're at now. Final delusion. Strong delusion. That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through the sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle. May our God, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope, by grace comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So we see that the mystery of lawlessness will be exposed. So we see that also lawlessness is backed by the lawless one, Satan. Amen. Satan's demons, his servants, they're all his offsprings. They're under the control of deception's curse. They're under the control of the curse of deception. Why? By agreeing with an agenda of a lawlessness. Everyone say agenda of lawlessness. In Ezekiel 9. Escaping the final delusion. Ezekiel 9, and starting at verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Ezekiel 9, verse 1. Then the Lord called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. In other words, he was calling for battle. And suddenly six men came from the direction of the upper gate with faces north, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's inkhorn on his side. They went in and they stood before the bronze altar. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen, who had the writer's inkhorn on his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over the abominations that are done within it. Wow. To the others he said, in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eyes spare, nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children of women. But do not come near anyone on whom is the mark, and begin at my what? Sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Then he said to them, defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out. And they went out and they killed in the city. So it was that while they were killing them that I was alone. And I fell on my face and I cried out to the Lord. And I said, oh, Lord God, will you destroy all the remnant of Israel in pouring out your fury on Jerusalem? And he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great. And the land is full of what? Bloodshed, abortion. And the city is full of what? Perversity, sexual perversion. Do you understand this? For they say the Lord has forsaken the land and the Lord does not see. And as for me also, my eye was neither spared nor will I have pity, but I will recompense their deeds on their own head. We are going to see that. You will be alive to see that. In fact, you'll probably be seeing some of the arrests next month, coming very soon at your local movie theater. Get popcorn and watch the devil start to run like crazy. Verse 11, just then the man clothed with linen who had the ink horn on his side reported back and said, I have done as you commanded me. See, the mark of the forehead, to those who were crying out of their hearts because of so much innocent bloodshed. They were crying out to the Lord for intervention. Lord, please rescue these children who have been taken captive. Please invade these abortion clinics and doctors and nurses that promote it. Stop the killing of the bloodshed of innocent children that are unborn because they have no voice. We must be their voice. And stop the perversity. Stop the perversity. The same-sex marriages, transgenders, and all the other stuff. These are nothing but spirits that are in individuals. Stop it. See, these individuals are crying out to the Lord. If you're one that's crying out to the Lord, you're marked for protection. Amen. So God marked their forehead, those who were crying out because of the bloodshed of unborn and the sexual perversion that were approved, promoted, and voted by other individuals. It is a seal of protection under the judgment and wrath of God because they did not practice lawlessness or agree with it. Psalm 37. Verse 34. Wait on the Lord. That takes death to self. One of the things the enemy loves to do, he loves anxiousness. Boy, he'll push you sometimes hard and gentle. He tries to give you a reason to move ahead of God. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will what? You will what? See it. I think we're going to see it. I really believe it. We're going to start seeing some of the wicked get cut off. We're going to see arrests and all kinds of stuff. There's stuff that's about to happen. I hope they all get arrested, get put in jail, and get saved. Praise God. You know, at least take them out of commission so they stop promoting wickedness. Verse 35. I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark, everyone say Mark. The what? Blameless man, and observe the upright. For the future of that man is what? Peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be what? Cut off. Whoa. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Mark the blameless man, the righteous. We are sealed. What? Those who are crying out and interceding for God's intervention. Revelation 13. So let me ask you this. If a person is crying out for God to stop abortion and the sexual perversion, but is still promoting an agenda that political arenas promote these things, is God going to seal that person? Heck no. If anything, the seal that he was sealed with from the beginning will be starting to get erased. You know, I'm going to give you an example. The Word tells us that Lucifer was the seal of perfection. He was sealed. Does he have a seal now? No. He's a serpent. He's an angel. He's a ship shifter. He lost the seal of protection. What? Shapeshifter. He's a ship and shifter. Shifter. So in this, we know if he lost the seal, amen, who was God's right-hand man, he lost the seal of perfection. He lost the seal of life. Now, is he going to heaven? So why do people think if Lucifer lost his right to eternal life, think about this, who was God's right-hand man? He was the praise and worship leader. Come on. But he exalted himself above God. He said, I'm going to do my will, not yours anymore. He lost the seal of protection and perfection and lost the entrance to eternal life. Amen? So listen, if he lost it, who else can lose it? Doesn't the Bible tell us that hell was created for Satan and his angels and those who are willing to follow them? So there's a lot of people. They're on a thresh, on a cutting edge of hell and don't even know it. One last breath, they're gone. Revelation 13, verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image to be what? Killed. This is, think about the word image. It's an image. We don't know exactly how that is going to be. It could be just an image. Hologram. And they'll have to worship it. And it says here, he will cause all, verse 16. Now, if they don't worship it, they're going to what? Be killed. So that's the choice. Worship the beast or be killed. Worship the image or be killed. People are worshiping the image and don't even know it right now. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark on their right hand and on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So no one will be able to do anything unless they are sealed by the satanic symbol. They can't buy or sell, and it will separate. Those that will realize, in other words, the rapture will be fulfilled by then. But they're trying to give you the mark now. They're offering the mark free. They're trying to chip as many people as possible for identity, technology. What do you think the image of the beast is? It's what intelligence, isn't it? Artificial intelligence will be the image of the beast. They'll be able to invade everywhere, globally, at any place. That's how they do is reflect it right off of a satellite. The image of the beast will be right in your living room. They have that technology. It'll be the end time delusion that leads to the mark of the beast because of lawlessness. They will lose the seal of life. In Hebrews chapter 2. You know, what does the Bible tell us? Work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. I think many people have gotten too complacent. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Hebrews 2 verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we what? Drift away. In other words, we got to keep it memorized. We got to keep it refreshed. For if the word spoken through the angel proved steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. For he has not put the world to come, or of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? So what is man or the son of man? We are man. Jesus is the son of man. Amen. You have made him a little lower than the angels and have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom all things, and by whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one, for which reason he is now not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the what? Assembly. I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here I am, and the children whom God has given me. What a wonderful Savior. We're to take heed, refresh, renew, remind, restore. Remember the ways of the law of life, lest we become deceived and drift away from the true reality and escaping the end time final delusion. Amen. It's our responsibility to constantly be refreshed. That's why we assemble. That's why every morning we go to prayer. That's why every morning we connect. That's why we read the word. That's why we pray in the spirit. All of these things, we got to keep doing it. What does the word tell us? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? Renewing, renewing. That means bring to remembrance, bring to remembrance, bring to remembrance. Too many people are drifting away because they're getting so caught up. The enemy's placing specific agendas in their lives, certain plans. We got to do his plan, not our plan. In Mark 8, what a time to be alive. As he builds a house, we labor in vain. Too many people are building their own house. Verse 34, Mark 8, 34. And Jesus called the people to himself with his disciples. So he called all the people that were there and his disciples. And he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake shall what? Shall save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for a soul? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I think a lot of people are going to freak out that day. You know what they're going to freak out about? God, I should have done what I was supposed to. I should have done what I was supposed to. He says, deny yourself, deny the carnal self, sinful appetites, carnal and sinful appetites. Take the truth, fight, and follow Jesus. 1 John chapter 5. And you know, if you're coming to these services and going to Eternal Library, you can't say you didn't know the truth or nobody told you. Well, I didn't know. No, it doesn't matter. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. Hallelujah. Let's speak it together. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself. How do you keep yourself? You stay connected. You stay refreshed. Just the things we're talking about. Stay reminded. Keeping everything activated. Keeping your faith activated. And don't associate with people that are not activated. Amen? And that says, and a wicked one doesn't touch us. So why is there a touch? Why is there open doors? Why are people still doing these things that they shouldn't be doing? Because they've got these open doors. They haven't stayed connected. They focused on all the other things more. You know what you focus on, you become. They spend more time chasing money, chasing all worldly dreams, chasing all of this other stuff instead of chasing him. Man, you chase him and everything falls into place. Verse 19, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Hello, that's his agenda. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ, the true God and eternal life. He is the true God and eternal life. Why do you think they don't want him in the schools? Because he offers life. Everyone else offers death. Buddha still hasn't finished his coffee. I don't care how many cups you bring him, he ain't drinking it. I don't care how many flowers you put on his thing, he ain't eating it. And all the rest of those goofy false idols. There's only one who rose from the dead. Everyone else is dead. Except for the demons that keep his agenda alive. Amen. Demons keep them alive. Their agendas. That's it. He said, little children, keep yourselves from the what? Idols. Emotional idols. Wow. Keep yourselves from the evil agendas, associations that promote, prove, and vote for the bloodshed and perversion. Sexual perversion. God is using and exposing the wickedness to the political and governmental agendas. These are agencies that are promoting evil and wickedness. They're all over the place. Every country, every nation, every continent, every island. But he's exposing them all. Amen? And hope to make a way of the escape for those taken captive to deception and fallen into the final delusion. He's trying to rescue as many people as possible. If they're willing to accept the rescue. Religion never rescued anyone. Just brought them into bondage. Amen? Hebrews 10. I you know, you can really tell by somebody's language sometimes or where they're at, what's going on. I run into a lot of people and they'll say, aren't you that preacher or whatever? I'll say, yeah. They say, yeah, well, my mother's very religious. I'm thinking, poor woman. Or my brother or somebody's very religious. I'm thinking, poor person. They need to be free. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Hallelujah. Let's speak it. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and all fullness assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure blood, pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Without what? Wavering. For he who promises faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. By what? Not forsaking to assemble of ourselves together, as is manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Forsaking not to assemble, to maintain a level of the anointing oil, to burn the fire of defense. I'm going to say it again. The oil helps the fire. It's the fire of defense. What are you defending against? Evil. It says they can't touch you. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, TV evangelism is not going to fill you with the oil. I go to church every Sunday. Oh, really? Yeah, and such on TV. Well, there's a difference. There's a total difference. Don't get me wrong. If you're homesick and whatever, yeah, you watch it. God willing, you might get healed if your faith is up there. But there's a place where you must participate. What you sow is what you reap. And he says, forsake not to assemble. Why? Where does all the help come from? The sanctuary. You are carrying the presence of God. Everyone in here is carrying the presence of God. You know, the presence of God in someone else can help someone else. This does not become the house of God until you come in. So the building's waiting for you and me. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Good. Matthew 6. And then one more scripture. Matthew 6. Okay, so when people, he says, I want to just share one more thing about not forsaking the assembling, what to maintain the level of the anointing oil, which burns the fire of defense and enlarges the scope of vision. It does what? It enlarges the scope of vision so you can see. Too many people are too narrow-sighted, and they can't see all around. They can't see what's going on. They get blindsided very easily by the voice of the stranger. So as you and I are maintaining the fire is not in front of you, it's all around you. You're maintaining the oil, the fire is all around you. The enemy can't touch you, but you can see everything he's doing. It's different. Amen? So we want to broaden and enlarge the scope of our vision to see and discern the evil agendas, strategies, and influences. That's why the world is so taken captive, because they can't see. They're promoting an agenda by the wicked organization of Satan's kingdoms, and there's many of them, whether it be religions, governmental organizations, even nonprofits and foundations and charity organizations are promoting evil. Did you ever think what the Shriners do? Think about the Shriners. I mean, they got these beautiful kids on there that they're helping and so forth, but what are they doing behind closed doors? What's really going on behind the Shriners? Believe me, those things that they wear, I wouldn't touch them. Those things are nothing but demonic forces. But they're doing good deeds, aren't they? So it's from the tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. But its origination, its root, is wicked. It's wicked, and people don't know. UNICEF, the same thing. There's many charity organizations that are root of it is greed, even Red Cross. Greed. I mean, people get busted all the time in these places. Of course, look at Planned Parenthood. Blood is, and they're the ones that they collect donations and they give their money to the agenda political parties that help promote them. See, when you go into the root of these things and find out what's going on, which people refuse to search out, they just accept anything and are foolish. Verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. How many of y'all know God knows it all? Does he know when you're sick? Does he know when you're not feeling good? Does he know when you made a mistake? You know, it's one thing I said to the Lord this morning. I said, you know what? You have corrected all my mistakes. Think about how many stupid things we've done. How many people we hurt. He's corrected everything. Now, you may not understand how many things he's corrected because you can't see all of it. But he's corrected it all. One way or another, he's corrected it. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your Father, Heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness, and all things shall be added to you. Therefore, don't worry. Don't be anxious. Don't fear about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Seek righteousness. What begins to happen is people forget and compromise by seeking righteousness. There's another, something that goes along with righteousness. It's called holiness. Amen? There's another thing that goes along with holiness. It's called purity. And there's the covering of it all called truth. So you got righteousness, holiness, and purity covered by truth. What? To avoid all false agreements. And these are with evil and carnal desires and agendas. We want to avoid all of these. But again, without discernment, you're not gonna. Without the oil, you're not gonna. You will sway. You will drift. You will compromise. And I'm not saying you can't get back in. But what happens when you're in that state of being? The enemy comes. He knows. He tries to put everything across your path to give you a false fulfillment. Because when you fall out of that condition, out of that place, you're looking for a fulfillment. Why? Because you're actually looking for him. But the enemy has swayed you and you're wondering what's going on. The lack of deep. The lack of connection. The lack of joy. The lack of fulfillment. And you can work 20 hours a day and still not be fulfilled. You can get $1 million in your bank account. You might be fulfilled for a minute. But it ain't going to last. It's probably killing you. You know? Man, we are in a critical, critical time right now. It is so important. So important. In John chapter 15, we'll close here. Escaping the final delusion. John 15, verse 5. Let's speak it. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Without me you can do what? Nothing. You can't overcome. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are what? Burned. Now that's not heaven. Okay? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, now where are you going to get his words? The Bible. Plus his voice. Amen? Now his voice will not contradict the word. That's not the voice of God then. If you abide in me and my words, my voice abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than that one lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go out and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I commanded you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I have said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. And if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Holy Spirit comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So without the Holy Spirit is what makes Jesus real for me and you. Amen. He is the Spirit of the Father. He's guiding to us to all truth, and he's declaring and telling us things to come and preparing us. He's a good daddy, and that's what he does. He prepares us, and this is where we have been in the last few meetings, in preparation, because so many have been taken under the final delusion. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask again today that you would protect the seed that's been imparted in us, so that it would grow and bear fruit for your glory, and that you would bring to remembrance by the Holy Spirit everything that's been imparted in us, that is truth, righteousness, holy, and pure, that we may keep our focus on you and not this world, in Jesus' name.